Today is the first sermon of 2018. It's 2018 already. And today we are beginning with a message entitled, well, I'm going to change it up on you. Make your next mark. Make your next mark. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to come here. Help us, Lord, to learn something that applies to our life, then can move us forward in our relationship with you. This I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. We all say, amen. Alex Honnold was a successful rock climber by any estimates. In fact, by the end of the year 2014, Alex had achieved international fame for his daring climbs. He had been featured on the cover of National Geographic, New York Times Magazine, Outside Magazines, and 60 Minutes had even done a profile on him. He had numerous corporate sponsors by which he made a living. He had even written a best-selling memoir. Alex had even gone beyond that and started a nonprofit foundation to improve the lives of needy communities in the places that he climbed rocks around the world. But Alex was not satisfied. In fact, he still felt that he had not made his mark. He had not made his mark on climbing history. He knew that there was something next for him. He knew there was a next step. And to make his mark, he had to find that next. As I've been thinking, as many pastors do, as the year ends and the new year begins, we look back in our ministry, and I've been here for 2 years, and I've been looking back at my time here and our church, and you know how it is when people begin something, and pastors are the same. You come in, and you have this great idea that you're going to be the pastor that's going to take this church to perfection, to glory, to mega church status, to the point where there is no problems at all, and everything's going well. And you charge in, and you're battling all these things that are expectations in your mind. But after a year or two, you kind of settle in, and you realize that maybe that's not what God is calling you to do. And this word next has been on my mind for the year 2018. As I think of our church here, I'm thinking that instead of me taking this church to some expectation that I have or others have, I think a successful pastoral stay here would be for me to take the church and for us to take the church from where the previous pastor was and took it, and then take it one more step. That sound reasonable? And then the next pastor that comes will find it where we took that step together, and he will take it another step, and a next step, and a next step, and a next step. I am finding comfort and joy in the next step. And the reason I was thinking about this was because as I was reflecting on the story of Jesus for Christmas and December, I came across this Bible verse that really made an impact on me when thinking of the year 2018 and the next step. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 tells us, and Jesus, what's the next word? Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Did you catch that? Jesus did what? He increased, not only in height physically, but he increased in favor with God and men. That I really got to thinking. I thought, well, Jesus was perfect. How can he increase in favor with God when he was already perfect? But this verse is telling me that Jesus had next steps even in his perfect life. The book Child Guidance, page 187, says the physical constitution of Jesus, as well as his spiritual development, is brought in before us in these words: the child grew and increased in stature. Jesus, even himself in his perfection, had a next stage of development in his life. Again, Child Guidance says, but at each, what is that word? stage of his development, he was perfect with the simple natural grace of a sinless life. When I think about our church community, when I think about my ministry, I'm getting excited because as I look at the life of Jesus, I see that there's different steps, next steps in the development of his ministry and life. And I think that's what God is calling this church's mission to be. Very simple. As you come to University Seventh-day Adventist Church, the mission, the vision should simply be to help you move from where you are to where God wants you to be. What's the next word? Next. Does that make sense? Is that simple enough? Can this church do that for you? Can we do that in the year 2018? Where do you find yourself this morning? Wherever it is, God wants you to be somewhere else in the year 2018. So your goal for the year 2018 is discovering what is your next. You could be in a good place, you could be in a bad place, but your next place is where God wants you to be. And so Alex wanted to find his next. He wanted to make his mark, and he had to find his next. And for Alex, his next was El Capitan in Yosemite National Park in California. How many of you have been to Yosemite National Park? Anybody here? How many of you have a Mac computer? Anybody have a Mac computer? If you've updated your system, you have a El Capitan running system, or maybe you're past that one. You see this picture of this great stone wall going up. You see, for Alex, he felt that he had done good things, but he wanted a next. He wanted to make his mark, and he came to the conclusion that his next was free solo climbing El Capitan. Do you know what free solo climbing means? Free solo climbing meant that a climber goes alone and uses no ropes or any equipment that aid or protect them as he climbs, leaving no margin for error. So his next was climbing this face of a stone that is so high in the sky with no one next to him, with no ropes, with no help if he made a wrong grab or he's put his foot in the wrong place. And here we see that he made this climb possible in the year 2017, the year that just passed. He did it in secret, and he only had one film crew at the top of the face of El Capitan looking down, because if he made it public and he failed, that meant that he would have fallen to his death. And so this young man decided that his next was climbing up El Capitan. Do you know how high El Capitan is? It is half a mile high. It is higher than the world's tallest building. From the meadow at the feet of El Capitan, climbers on the peaks can barely see with an invisible eye those who have climbed all the way to the top. And so on June 3rd, 2017, Alex found his next, and he was ready to make his mark. It took him 4 hours without rope, without safety gear. Alex became the first person ever to free solo climb the 3,000-foot wall of El Capitan. Here's a picture of him as he finished his climb right at the summit of the 3,000-foot climb. Can you do this? Would you like to do this? Is this something that excites you? Is this your next? No, it's not your next, but it was his next. But what can we learn about his next that can teach us about our next? What can we teach about his next that made a mark in climbing history that will teach us about our next that will make a mark in the kingdom of God? Let me tell you something about free solo climbing. Free solo climbing, no ropes, no partner, no safety gear, test nearly every aspect of a climber's physical ability. He has to have strengthen his fingers, strengthen his forearms, strengthen the toes. His abdomen has to be strong. They need to be flexible. They have to have long endurance. They have to think of the environmental factors. Imagine you're 100 feet up in the air, 200, 300, and all of a sudden it begins to rain, or it becomes windy, or all of a sudden you find that you need to go to the bathroom, or whatever the case it is. All these factors Alex had to calculate to make his mark. But the true test of Alex was whether he could maintain his composure alone on a cliff hundreds or thousands of feet up in the air, knowing that a position his foot was in could lead to climbing to the top or falling all the way to the bottom. There he is, grabbing on for his dear life, climbing. But you know what made Alex different than any other climber in the world? It wasn't his physical ability, because other climbers were just as strong, had just as much endurance, and could really take in the environmental factors as Alex did. What made Alex different, listen carefully, what made Alex different, what made him make his mark, was that no one else matched his mental ability to control fear. Did you catch that? No one else matches mental ability to control fear. In fact, his tolerance for scary situations is so remarkable that neuroscientists have studied the parts of his brains related to fear to see why they are different from the every other day human being. Alex puts it simply like this: with free soloing, obviously I know that I'm in danger. But feeling fearful while I'm up there is not helping me in any way, he said. It's only hindering my performance. So I just set it aside and leave it be. Did you get that? I just set aside fear and let it be. In order for Alex to reach his next and make his mark, he needed to take the thing that was holding his back, and what holds back so many Christians, so many believers from their next, from their spiritual making a mark, it is the fear. It is the fear. And Alex says, don't let that hold you back. Just lay it aside. Lay it aside. Don't let fear control you. And so in order to take the next step and make your mark like Alex, you must set aside your fear. Think about the men of the Bible. Abraham was a good man in the land of his father and of his ancestors. But God said your next step is to leave your family and go into the land of Canaan. And what did he do with his fear of the unknown? He set it aside. And then we find that in his old age, he was told that he was going to be a father. Some of you are scared of being fathers in your old age. Have you thought about that? And he set aside that fear. He said, if God promised it, I could do it. And then when he received his son, God said, your next step is to sacrifice your son. And he set aside his fear. And then God made him the father of the faithful for all eternity. Your next is like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were good followers of God in the city of Jerusalem. But God told them that your next is to be faithful in the city of Babylon with your diet. And when they were faithful to God with their diet in the city of Babylon, God said, now your next is to be faithful in the face of a burning, fiery furnace. And they set aside their fear, and they were able to take their next step and make a mark. So how is it that Abraham was able to do this? How is it that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to do this? How is it that you will be able to set aside your fears in the year 2018 to take your next step where God wants you to be and make your mark? Friends, it's very simple how we set aside fear: by letting your faith in God be bigger than your fear. Let your faith in God be bigger than your fear in the year 2018. We have some powerful verses that give us these promises. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be what? Neither let it be afraid." Hebrews chapter 13 says even more poignant. It says, "He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Let your faith in God be bigger than your fear, because we don't have to fear what we face when we know who we're trusting in. We don't have to fear what we face when we know who we're trusting in. So what's your next step in the year 2018? You are somewhere, but God wants you to be someplace else. What is that next step that will make a mark in your life? Maybe God is telling you that you need to take a next step in your relationship with your wife. Maybe you have been the same man in your relationship with your wife, and that has not made your marriage a sweet and beautiful thing. Maybe you've been the same woman with your husband, and your marriage is starting to crumble or feel the tensions getting higher and higher, and that's where you are, but that's not where God wants you to be. He wants you to be someone else in your marriage. He wants you to take that next step, but you're afraid because you've made so many mistakes. You said so many wrong things in this marriage, and you're afraid to take that next step. And God says, let your faith in me be bigger than your fear. I can still do something in the year 2018 for your marriage. Are you afraid of going someplace? Maybe God is calling you to serve him somewhere else. Maybe he's asking you to take that next step in service, and you're afraid, you don't know where to go. You're comfortable where you are, but God says, no, I've called you someplace else. Don't be afraid. Or maybe God is telling you, don't go anywhere. Stay here. Plant your roots. I want you to build up this church. I want you to be a foundational piece in this church. Maybe this next year will be the year that you say, you know what? I'm going to make church attendance something regular. I'm going to come every Sabbath. I'm going to come to Sabbath school. I'm going to bring my children so they can learn morals and values that will serve them for the next year and the rest of their life. But I'm afraid because I'm not used to doing church every week. I'm afraid, what will people think that I hang out with? I'm afraid because what if I'm not good enough for God? I'm not good enough for church. I'm afraid, what if they don't accept me? I'm afraid, and God says, let your faith in me be bigger than your fears. Set them aside because I have a next for you, and we're going to make a mark in the year 2018. I think there's no story in the Bible that exemplifies this process better than the story of David and Goliath. How many of you know the story of David and Goliath? I have to make sure. Have you heard of that story before? Are you with me? Are you guys just too cold to raise your hands? I was like, they're warm right here. So do one of these. Yes? Yes? Okay, give me a... Have you heard of David and Goliath? Great. Now, when you think of the story of David and Goliath, many people have gotten the moral of that story wrong, because many think of David defeating Goliath as a story of personal courage in the face of overwhelming odds. They see David as the underdog, and it's kind of like Rocky Balboa, right? Fighting against the bigger, better guy, and they're standing up to the arrogant, powerful enemy. They see David as a self-confident, independent young man who's brave enough to fight for what is right. And he relies on his own strength and skills. Remember, he didn't take the king's armor, right? And so many times we get the popular moral story that this story of David Goliath is get out there and face down your giants because the heroically courageous come out on top. You know, that's the moral that people get. Go out, face your giants. And we learn it even as a little children. How's that song go? Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, only a little brook. But five little stones he took, and one little stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round, And then it goes round and round like 1,000 times. The children keep singing that. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down. Only a boy named David? Was only David there with his stones? Is that the moral of the story of this independent, self-courageous young boy? Friends, when you face Goliath in your life, you need to have courage like David. But the courage of David was a derivative virtue. What does that mean? That means that his courage was being empowered by something else. His courage was being empowered by something else. What was his courage being empowered by? The way to understand that is to ask the question, why didn't Saul and his soldiers have courage? And David did have courage. And we find that they had a good reason to be scared. We find that when they came across that giant, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 5, that he was a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel, and he was over 9 feet tall. How tall was he? 9 feet tall. Who's the tallest person here today? Anybody 6 feet? We got 6 foot 2? 6 foot 2? 6 foot 2? 6 foot 3? All right, stand up. Let me see how tall you are. Okay. All right. There's Goliath, friends. No, Goliath was, if he's what? You're 6 foot two, he was about 3 feet taller than you. You would look like a very small little man compared to him. And how many people, when you're facing your next step that God wants you to take, it looks like a giant. It looks like something you can't overcome. When God is asking you to take that next step in your spiritual life, it seems impossible to overcome that sin, to stop drinking, to stop cursing, to change your character, to change your attitude. It looks like giants. And here, the Bible tells us he wore a bronze helmet. He had a bronze coat of male weight 125 pounds. Some of you can't even bench press 125 pounds. He also wore a bronze leg of armor. He carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. And the shaft of his spear was so heavy and thick as a weaver's beam. And he tipped it with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Man, there was a reason to be afraid. There was a reason that these men, Saul and the soldiers, were scared. But here we find that David comes and says, "Don't worry about this. Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go and fight him." Saul replied to him, "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." I like to place myself in these Bible verses. Do you like to do that when you're facing things in your life? Because when I read that story, I see that many people are afraid to take the next step because they're doing it by themselves, not relying on God. And so I see the big difference here. One has faith, one has fear. David says, "Don't worry about it." Don't you like it when you could say that in your life? "I'm having financial problems, but God is asking me to still give tithe and offering." "Don't worry about it," God says. "Have faith. Have faith. I'm busy at work, I'm busy at school, but God is asking me to spend some time in morning worship and morning prayer. I don't know if that's going to affect my work. I don't know if that's going to affect my school." God says, "Don't worry about it. I got this. Have faith in me." But to other people, that looks ridiculous, doesn't it? To other people, that doesn't make sense. Because they're living a life of fear, and God is asking you to live a life of faith. Take the next step is what God is asking you to do. And so we find that Goliath seemed like a suicide mission, but it didn't look like suicide to David, that even though he was physically outclassed, just like everyone else, he had the courage to face his giant, not because of his strength, because of his faith in God. So we find that no that the men lacked the courage to face Goliath because at this moment, for whatever reason, the men lacked faith. Why are you trouble taking that next step in the year 2018? Every end of the year, you have a resolution. God, I'm going to change this. God, I'm going to do this. God, I'm going to try to fix my attitude. God, I'm going to try to move forward in my spiritual life. But every year, the same resolutions, they fail, they fail, they fail because you're living a life of fear, not of faith, because Goliath looks bigger than God in your life. What is it right now that you're afraid of? That God is telling you to take that next step. Take that next step. And it's hard to take that next step when your Goliath looks bigger than God. Each man believed that if he went out against this humongous human, he would be on his own and end up as bird food. And that's exactly what Goliath promised. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. So what made David different? It's not because he had self-generated, raw, cool courage of that American hero type, the one you see in the movies that stands up to all the bad guys. That's not what made David different. What made David different, what fueled David's courage, was his confidence in God's promise and God's power to fulfill him. Because just in chapter 16 before, David had been anointed. The Bible tells us that David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the flask of olive oil, and he had brought and anointed David with oil. That day, he anointed him king over Israel. In other words, he said, God promises you that you will one day be king. And so when he came upon a giant that was threatening to kill his life, he didn't fear because he trusted in the promises of God that he would be king. And if he died, he couldn't be king. So his faith in God was greater than his fear of death. But David persisted and also looked back in his experience where God has protected him in the past. He says, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. Wow, that young man was something else, wasn't he? But couldn't you wish that you could do the same with your problems? Couldn't you wish you could do the same with your Goliath, with your lions in your lives, with your wolves in your lives? Don't you wish that you could not live in fear or always, you know, shrink back from those things that God is asking you to do or take a next step in or face? Don't stop ignoring that. What gave David the courage was his trust in God's promises. The Bible is full of promises for your specific situation. And also, he wants you to look back to see how he has led you. That's why I love that theme that this church will be a church that takes you from where you are to where God wants you to be next. But if God took you somewhere next, that means that you were somewhere before. And then when you're ready to take that next step, you can look back and say, well, God will be with me here because he was with me here and here and here and here and here and here. And so he was not self-confident. He was what? He was God-confident. He was God-confident. David believed that God would never break his promise. And if Goliath made himself an obstacle to God's promise, God could flick him out of the way with a pebble. And that's exactly what he did, right? One little stone went into the sling, and the giant came tumbling down. Friends, it takes faith to see your victory before you fight your battle. What is your battle? What is your next step? It takes faith to see your victory before you fight your battle. David saw God as bigger and stronger than the fearful Philistine, so he went out to fight knowing that God would give him victory over Goliath. And when he did, the victory demonstrated not David's courage, not David's power, but God's power, God's faithfulness. 1 Samuel chapter 17, listen to the words of David here. Today the Lord will conquer you. Can you wake up in the year 2018 every day and face your challenges and fears with these same words? as you open up your Bible, as you get up from out of your prayer time, you look at your day ahead, you look at your problems, whether in you or outside of you, can you say, today the Lord will conquer you? What a powerful thing to have faith. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and the spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. You see, when God asks you to take the next step, when God asks you to move forward and make your mark, you have to remember that if you move forward in faith, not in fear, it is God who's going to be doing that battle for you. It is God who's going to take down the enemies in your life, whether they're in you or outside of you. And so courage is not autonomous, self-generating virtue. Courage is always produced by faith. We don't have to fear what we face when we know who we're trusting in. Courage is always produced by faith. Hebrews 10, verse 37 to 38 says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." My soul has no pleasure in who? Those that draw back. For the Christian, a lack of courage, a lack of drawing back is a lack of faith. For some of you, Goliath, your Goliath is bigger than your God. And he's standing in your sight, maybe taunting you, humiliating you. And all you see is how weak and pathetic you are and how inadequate you are to face your Goliath. Fighting seems impossible. But maybe, think about this, maybe God wants to do something beyond your abilities, and he is far less intimidated by your failures and limits than you are. So what is your next? Is it being someone, fighting something, moving somewhere, staying here? What is your next? Don't let your faith in God be killed by your fear. Let your faith in God be bigger than your fear. And so as the year 2018 begins, and I think of Alex on that rock by himself, climbing up there, and the wind hitting him, and he's looking down, and it's hundreds and hundreds of feet down, and my stomach churns. I'm not sure about you, because I'm scared of heights. Anybody else scared of heights? I'm terrified of heights. That would be my worst nightmare ever, if I'm on that cliff holding on, and I gotta go up, and I'm scared of falling down. And I could imagine him climbing up there with no fear. He set aside his fear, looking up, probably only looking up, because if he looks down, it would not be good. And I see him reaching the pinnacle. I see him reaching the top. I see him standing up there and celebrating his victory. He reached the top of El Capitan. Yes, yes, his next, he made his mark. And I was reading the story, and I was so excited about this story. And I shared the story with my wife. She takes one look at it and goes, I've been to the top of El Capitan. What? How did you make it to the top of El Capitan? What are you talking about? And she says, well, there's a back way, you know. You don't have to climb straight up. And it takes a whole day to climb, but you can climb and get to the same place that he got. And there, you could see the same view and feel on top of the world just like Alex did. And so your next is not the same as the person right next to you, is it? Your next is something else for the year 2018. But all of you, if you take that next step, and you take that next step, and you take that next step, and you take that next step by faith, not by fear, one day we will all find ourselves on the top of El Capitan. We'll find ourselves on top of El Capitan in heaven. And our captain will be Jesus Christ. And so I want you to reflect. I want to end not with an appeal, but I want to end with a reflection. I want to end with two questions, and I'm going to ask you just to forget about the people around you. This is the year 2018, first Sabbath of the year, and we're talking about taking the next step, leaving your mark for Jesus and his kingdom this year. And so I want you to think about spiritually. I want to think about the sin in your heart, in your life. I want you to look at the circumstances around you. What is God asking you to do next in the year 2018? Related to Jesus, related to church life, related to spirituality. And so I just want you to take a moment right now. Close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. If you hear someone snoring, please poke them. We're not done yet. And I want you to just focus and concentrate on these two questions. Are you ready? Eyes closed. Are you ready to take your next step in the year 2018? First question, are you where you want to be? Are you where you want to be? Look at your life. Look at where you are spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Are you happy there? Are you willing to stay there for the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? Are you where you want to be? Second question, are you ready for what's next? Are you ready for what's next? Next, think about it. Look it in your mind, eyes closed. What is that next? It's not where you are now. It's where God wants you to be next. What is that next? With your eyes closed, can you vision it? Can you see it? What area of your life, what area of your heart, what area of your soul is God asking you to take a next step? What will that next step look like in action in your life? Are you where you want to be? Are you ready for what's next? Jesus, thank you so much that we could trust you with our life. Thank you so much that you also, as a young child, had a next, even though you were perfect. And you gave us the example that the year 2018 shouldn't be the same as the year 2017. You have a next for us. You want us to make a mark. And Lord, people have seen that maybe this morning in their mind, in their head, what you are asking them to do next, where you want them to move to in their spiritual life, in their family life, in their work life. Lord, I don't know. They've seen it. Please, let their faith be bigger than their fear. Let their trust in your promises make them get to the top of El Capitan in their life, here and for eternity. This I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.